You're listening to The Rick Diamond Show, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com. Now here's your host, Rick Diamond.
ESPN Radio, on demand.
Here's Rick.
Here is Rick. And I'm still disgusted from last night. John Tabor, by the way, across from me. Producing the show as always. We were at the Verizon Arena last night, John, for Monday Night Raw. You have any idea why I'm disgusted? You were there with me. You ought to know.
I'm just going to sit and let you explain.
I'm telling you, John, and you saw it for yourself. Inbreds everywhere. I was in line.
Keep in mind, Diamond, that we do reach into South Arkansas.
Well, I hope we do, John.
Because they
need to hear this.
Here's the thing, though. We're in Little Rock, which is a little more in the central part of the state. It gets a little thicker as you go further into the middle. So, anywho.
You know, I never bought into that stuff. You know, the stereotypes about Arkansas and all that. And I haven't been in 5 years, but man. It was bad. It really was.
It wasn't that bad, Diamond.
I had to stand in the concession stand line for 35 minutes in between two of Arkansas's most notable incestuals. And it was not great. But I'll tell you what, John. I did enjoy the show. I really did.
I thought it was decent. Started off hot. Great start. I thought that's one of the best openings Raw's had in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it did. I was disappointed that I didn't get to see Stephanie and Foley, though.
Yeah, it is what it is. They look the same, their lives, as they do on TV. Well, I don't know, Steph is...
Well, I mean, I'm not disappointed that I didn't get to see them.
I would have enjoyed seeing Steph. I will not lie.
I'm just disappointed that they weren't there, period. You
well,
know?
As far as part of the...
I've seen them plenty.
But part of the show.
Yeah, part of the show, exactly. Triple H was not present at the arena, apparently. I guess he was still
He may have been in London.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was in Blackpool over the weekend with the UK tournament, which was, I thought, excellent. I know you haven't had the chance to really get and watch.
Had the chance, but I've chosen
the desire.
Yeah.
There are a few matches that are definitely recommendable. I think you may have a couple guys with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate that have a real chance to do something worldwide. So I thought it was well done, and kudos to Hunter and Nigel McGuinness and of course William Regal for putting that together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see SmackDown tonight. I chose not to watch that either, even though I do think SmackDown is better than Raw. I will give you that. Dustin Brown chimes in on the Facebook live stream. He says that was a horrible cage match. Can you confirm or deny that?
We discussed them having that match tonight on a ride back from Little Rock, and I think we both agreed that they should have waited and kept that for the Rumble.
Yeah, absolutely.
For just that, because...
Or Fastlane.
I do like the concept of having the women's cage back. It's mm-hmm. match. It's something that has been done before, but it's still very rare and definitely a novelty that gives me a reason to watch in addition to what the normal storyline or the participants are.
Yeah, and maybe Fastlane is a Raw exclusive. That's probably
okay. I know I'm going in circles here, but to answer his question, it was mediocre. I enjoyed the finish, not so much the execution, but the premise behind it, the way that they introduced Mickey.
Right.
Spoiler alert if nobody's seen it yet, but Mickey James is now part of the SmackDown Live roster,
which I'm very happy about.
I am too, and in a heel role, assisting Alexa, as we had figured with La Luchadora had been the last few weeks. Got kind of an old school feel to it there, so I dug that. But as far as the in ring action of the cage match itself, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't nearly as good as the table match that Alexa and Becky had at TLC in Dallas.
Yeah, I just don't know
which I thought was excellent.
If the two mesh well together, in a normal match, which a steel cage is. I hate to break it to people who think a steel cage is
not for the
more.
Women, though.
Yeah, no, it kind of is. It's a normal match with a cage around you. You wrestle it like a normal match.
But, I get the, as far as the stipulations of the match are concerned, yes.
Yeah, and with a table match, you wrestle that obviously completely different. You tease the table up until the point.
Well, you tease the cage. You tease the door.
Teasing the cage.
I'll be honest with
you,
I would love to see one of the women's cage matches finish with one of the ladies climbing over the cage.
Or jumping off, yeah.
Well,
we'll get there.
We'll get there. You know, Ode to Superfly on that one.
Yeah. How great would that have been, though, if Becky did that in Ode to Superfly? I didn't think about that, but that would have been nice.
Becky or Alexa, either one.
Alexa would have gotten
Now, the cool, what would have been really cool is for La Luchadora to climb the cage, splash Becky, or even Becky roll out of the way, or, you know, but enter the cage under that manner.
Yeah, and Mickey would absolutely have done it.
She probably would have.
Because Mickey, you know.
Mickey's a pro, man.
Yeah, and Mickey's probably one of my favorite people to actually, you know, have worked with. I love all of them, don't get me wrong. But Mickey, she's just so kind-hearted, and she's such a great person. But I'm sure she'll make a great heel, too. And I'm excited they brought her in as a heel because we haven't seen her run heel very much in WWE.
And it's been probably, what, a decade?
It has.
Since then?
Since the Trish Stratus stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, so I thought it was a nice cap to SmackDown. Started the show with a decent match between your boy, the Z-lister.
The Z-lister?
The Z-lister.
What, Dolph Ziggler, I assume? You're talking about Dolph Ziggler now.
No, Dolph Ziggler did super kick the king in the heart, but hey.
Yeah.
That is what it is. You would like that.
Absolutely. One less person that I have to climb over to get to the announce table. So, go ahead.
You're worried about climbing over the king?
That's right.
What, are you going to MC the Hall of Fame ceremony, Diamond?
Absolutely. I think I'd be the
Actually,
perfect
it'd be a
choice
pretty,
for that.
It'd be a pretty cool gig.
It sure would. I mean, well, I'm pretty sure that James and I are going to hit up Supercard of Honor instead of the Hall of Fame this year.
While we're at the Hall of Fame, yeah, quick note, ahead. First inductee, you know, official inductee is the only Olympic gold medalist to ever perform in the WWE.
Indeed it is.
It's true. It's damn true.
You sounded kind of like JR when you said that. It's damn true. Yeah. I love it, Tabor. I have
nothing on that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, Angle is going to the Hall of Fame, and here's what he said earlier in an interview. He wants to return to the ring to face AJ Styles in the WWE. He's already done it in TNA. And I love the match.
There's a variety of ways to build that, Diamond.
I'm sure. Enlighten me on those.
Which way do you want to go first? Just build up a program between the two of them?
You could have him win the Rumble, that's
one.
Or
do you integrate the Rumble?
You could. I think he's going to be in the Rumble whether their feud would start there or not.
Would he win the whole thing?
No, unless you're going to... I don't know. I don't think he will, let me put it that way. I don't think it's going to be...
Angle wins the Rumble. AJ beats Cena at Rumble. And then you build from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most obvious choice if they want to do that match. Right, that's the easiest way to get there.
And that also lets you ducktail back to Cena and Undertaker at Mania.
Absolutely. And apparently the rumors are that that's not happening. So,
I've seen those, but rumors and innuendo are just that.
Indeed they are. And I would personally rather see them wait and do Cena versus Undertaker in New Orleans.
I want to see Brock Undertaker in New Orleans. I want to see Brock finish the job.
If I recall,
finally
that
put
match was
the
terrible.
Dead man away.
That match was terrible, though, if I recall it correctly.
It was. Undertaker, okay. I think, had been concussed during the match.
Yeah.
But
probably would be again.
But it would just... It would be so pro wrestling for that match to culminate everything within his career, in particular with WrestleMania in New Orleans.
A lot of people want Kane to be the one to retire Undertaker. And I'm not feeling that. I mean, he's wrestled him twice already at WrestleMania.
That wouldn't be my first option either, but if it was done right and taking time to do it, not just whip it up in 3 weeks, I could certainly sit back and enjoy it.
But, I mean, you got to think, we're talking about retiring The Undertaker right now, and we've been talking about retiring
The Undertaker for 7 years. Yeah, he may win the Rumble in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He's the odds-on favorite to win the Rumble. And if I had to choose anybody, I'd probably have to choose him.
That has been my, maybe not way too early, but somewhat early forecast was The Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, that would be him, The Undertaker. Braun was in the mix, and a few others that I didn't really pay much attention to. Randy Orton's up there for the odds, and I don't buy that. Wouldn't make sense.
I don't.
Bray would make more sense than that. I just don't see anybody else who you could have up there win it, because they're going with Goldberg and Brock again for WrestleMania, we assume, so neither one of them are going to win. You've got AJ Styles, who's already the champion. You got John Cena, who's fighting AJ Styles. He's not going to even be in it. So who else do you have? You got Undertaker and Braun Strowman.
That we know of.
What do you mean, that we know of, that he's going to be in there or not? Yeah, we don't know for sure, but I'd assume that he's not. I mean, The Miz.
Well,
how about that?
Go figure.
I mean, seriously, though, The Miz, that would be amazing.
Well, I've said this way too many times over the last few months. The Miz is doing the best work of his career right now.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt about it.
And he'd be doing better.
The promo he cut today to start the show off was excellent.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I should have tuned in for that.
It's what led into the non-title match between he and AJ to start the show with Cena at ringside or on commentary. But yeah, the Miz is on fire, man.
The only portion of SmackDown I saw was very small, 2 minutes out of the entire 2 hours. It was Nikki Bella and Natalya brawling at the merchandise stand. Russell from Homer texted in. He's a Superfly Snuka fan. And should we talk about Jimmy Snuka some more? Or, you know, I've been seeing some stuff online. Is it ethical to talk about Jimmy Snuka? Why are we talking about Jimmy Snuka and not talking about Chris Benoit? You know, I don't know.
I would prefer to keep it within the realm of as a performer.
Right.
And I caught the tail end of his career. He was definitely on the downslope when I started watching as a kid in the mid-'80s. But, you know, that dive, you know, it's that iconic dive off the top of the cage. You know, he missed it against Backlund and then hit it against Morocco and MSG. You know, that was the precursor to what you see a lot nowadays.
Right, and you can hit us up on the Paradigm Gym hotline. That's 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Just like somebody has done right now, we've got a caller. Who do we have, John?
We've got B on the line.
B, how you doing, B?
What's up, Ricky D?
Not much. How about you?
Well, heading home and listening to you guys. Now, I'm not much up on the, you know, I didn't watch The Rock and John Cena, but right. Look, I go back to the wrestling days of Cowboy Bill Watts, Amon Hussein, and Skandar Akbar, just before JYD.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, you know, if we would have had the entertainment factor back then that there is now, I mean, wrestling would have been so much better. I mean, wrestling was fun. And the crowds were decent. But, you know, those guys, you know, Dr. X, I remember seeing him getting his leg broken on the turnbuckle there. And, you know, it's nothing like it is today. But, you know, I almost want to say it was a little more real back then.
You know, it's definitely real now, too, just as real as it was then.
Wow, so it's not real at all.
You didn't realize it, though, because you know, back then nobody knew for sure. It was always, oh, you know, maybe they're hitting each other, maybe they're not. And maybe it was a little more physical at that time because they felt the need to make you believe that it was fully real, right? Maybe it was.
Well, and they didn't have the technology that the rings are made out of now. You know, the mat, a little, you know, a little more bounce to it. There was a little more to it, you know. For us older guys, we're going to say that it was a little bit more real back then. How about that?
Yeah, well, we can go with that for sure.
They were a little stiffer with the work.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. Enjoy, you guys.
Well, thanks for the call, B.
All right, man.
So, I mean, the ring, obviously, have they made any changes to the ring since back then, Tabor, other than making it look good? I'm not an old school guy. So when he said The Rock, I'm like, I wasn't even born when, or I just got born when The Rock.
Oh, I'm sure the rings are probably more technically made with better quality, you know, products and then
right.
More precisely measured and all this and that.
Still wood and steel, though.
It's still wood and steel with a canvas, you know, on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And guys still bumping, and you know the flat back bump is still probably the most integral physical part of wrestling.
Absolutely,
and it's, that should never change.
No, well, I'm going to tell you. You know, I trained for a little bit, and felt like I'd been in a car wreck for 9 weeks straight. You know,
now let's let the audience know this was pre CrossFit Peter over here.
It certainly was. CrossFit St. Peter, I believe, is what you
Oh, are we saint? Okay.
Yeah, as I'd love to be considered a saint, John, if you could give me that honor. But yeah, CrossFit St. Peter instead of CrossFit Jesus, because that's obviously taken, as you said last night. But yeah, it was before I got in shape, okay? But I still think
you're still
it would
bumping.
Hurt.
I don't care how good in shape. You're still bumping on your
right.
back.
The cardio wasn't nearly what it would be now, but it still hurt just as much as it would today, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, bottom line is, yeah, you know you're taking the fall, but it don't make it hurt any less. So, with that being said, we'll take our first break of the show and be right back. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer, former ECW Heavyweight Champion, the Innovator of Violence, the ECW Original, and a whole lot of other titles. And you're listening to my friend, The Rick Diamond Show, taking you to the extreme.
That's right, Tommy. And you and I will be the hosts of Sports Slam with Diamond and Dreamer, brand new sports talk show coming to ESPN 97.7 Saturday mornings after Nick Brown at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Can't wait for that. I know you're excited too, Tabor.
Absolutely. We had Tommy on the sports company, and you talk about just free-flowing, entertaining, whether we're talking, whether Sean was talking wrestling with him or just mainstream sports. He's very knowledgeable. I say it again, entertaining, which I think is a very key element that you always want to have. I'm psyched.
Russell wants to know if we're stoked about the release of Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania. And I got to tell you, Russell, I'm just counting the days.
You know what, Russell? That may be the best text you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever sent
yeah.
to the inbox here at ESPN 97.7 across any platform.
He deserves a free Pie Works pizza from Terry Waldrop for that one.
He's going to have to talk to Terry on that one. Yeah. I can't vouch for Terry.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I love – wait, can you guess my favorite tag team? Let me just not say I love
all-time
them.
All-time or current?
See if you can guess. I may go all-time, but let's just say currently wrestling.
Currently.
It might be the same.
Your favorite tag team. Well, seeing as how you are such a huge homer for the WWE, I'm gonna go. I know who it is.
Who?
Sheamus and your boy Cesaro.
Absolutely wrong on that one, and it's not even. They're not even in the WWE.
Really?
Really.
Has it got anything to do with a super kick?
It does have something to do with a super kick. It sure does, John Tabor. And we've got some special audio from the Young Bucks. That's who I'm talking about to play for you right here, right now. Let's hit it, Tabor.
Brother Nero and Broken Matt, I heard about your open challenge to any champion of any major wrestling organization. And it's been a little bit silent. Unlike those other teams from those other companies,
they're not responding.
We're not afraid to respond.
We're not scared to get any type of heat, brothers.
Matt and Jeff, we accept your challenge. And I really, really, really hope to God Ring of Honor is cool with it. Because we'll wrestle you at the Impact Zone.
Oh, yeah.
We'll wrestle you on your compound. We'll do it here. And if Ring of Honor isn't cool with it, that's fine.
What will we do?
We'll quit. We'll quit the company.
We'll walk
right
out.
What are they going to do?
Can't do anything because we are untouchable.
We'll go to NXT. We'll go to the CWC.
Hell yeah.
We'll be at 205 Live. Okay, maybe not 205 Live, yeah. But we'll do this anywhere, anytime, any place.
Hell, we'll do this in this white trash boiler room. It doesn't matter.
Young Bucks versus Broken Matt, Brother Nero, any place.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. We accept.
Gotta love it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
in a white trash boiler room.
I'd rather it be in a white trash boiler room than in Japan. I mean, that's just me.
So if it went down at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
That takes too long.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe as a special attraction at the G1 Climax there at the end of the summer. That takes too long, too.
Yeah. No, we need this next week.
On top of the volcano at the Hardy compound.
Hey.
I mean,
I'm down with that. I haven't seen the total nonstop.
As long as they don't fall into Senor Benjamin's green bean farm, I'm okay.
Yeah. James told me that 3 people were killed on total nonstop deletion, and I have not seen it yet, but I'm going to, I promise.
Well, Skarsgård got attacked.
Did he?
The dilapidated boat.
Isn't that my code name here at ESPN
97.7? Skarsgård.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat.
I don't know. You're on the upswing. That's probably more befitting of me.
Okay. Well, I thought that's what Sean called me one day. My bad.
He probably did.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I also want to see Matt Hardy versus Cena, so I hope he goes to the WWE.
I want to see Matt Hardy and Bray work.
Well, of course. Yeah,
let me rephrase that. I want to see broken Matt Hardy. And Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, well, when I say Matt and Cena, I mean broken Matt, too. Nobody wants to see...
I don't think the 7 deities are going to allow to go back to his former reincarnation or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever space and time realm he's in right now, so...
You're not able to go back to your past body.
No.
I don't think so.
Anyway. I can't speak for broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one of these days Rick Diamond can ask him that.
I need to talk to Dreamer about getting him on here, seriously. So, and we've talked about that off the air, but yeah,
absolutely.
I do need to get Matt on the show for sure.
Back to the match, it doesn't. And I think the Bucks said it absolutely. I don't care if they do it on. I will watch. I'll pull up a stream of TNA if there's a reason to watch. Mm-hmm. That would certainly be a reason to watch. Same thing with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think I might can get you on the New Japan train if it was done over there. You'd watch.
I would reluctantly.
Maybe not live if they did it at 3 in the morning.
I would.
You'd send Tabor a text and say, hey, what's your login for New Japan World?
And I would watch it
and
later.
You'd watch, absolutely.
I sure would. And I would hope they give them 40 minutes. But, you know, you told me something last night about you hope that the piano starts playing at the Royal Rumble in the Alamo Dome.
Oh, that'd be delightful.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. I would love it.
The piano starts playing, then they shine the light on Revy, mm-hmm. and then they shine a small light, and out comes King Maxwell.
King Maxwell. Is he 2 years old now?
I think he may be
he can't be
that
2
18
yet.
Month somewhere. He might.
he can't be two yet because we would have seen a broken birthday party if he had turned two. And that, we will see a broken birthday party.
And we should. He's wrestling royalty.
Yes. So and he became wrestling royalty out of nowhere because 18 months
ago. All kid inside that is the cutest darn kid.
Yeah. Well, and he's King Maxwell.
He's got good genes.
I'm telling you, that kid is going to be a world champion when he's 18. He'll be wrestling before he's 18.
If he doesn't get burnt out from living that, who knows how much longer Matt's going to continue being an in-ring performer. If he gets into booking or not, I think he's already kind of dabbling with that. Obviously the stuff he's doing with Jeremy Borash with the nonstop deletion stuff out at the compound. It's off the wall. It's an acquired taste, but it's definitely something different.
No, I think Matt should just be Broken Matt permanently and just raise the kid not to speak English, but to speak broken English and just have him think that all this is real for his entire life. That's how you make a star in this business.
That was way too funny, Diamond.
That's how you make a star. I'm serious. But it's about time to bring on James B. McDaniel. We got a lot to discuss with him, wrestling, MMA, everything. We have a whole lot. So stay tuned. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7, and we'll be right back.
Viva la raza!
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
We lie, we cheat, we steal. We lie, we cheat, we steal.
This is Vicky Guerrero, and excuse me! You're listening to The Rick Diamond Show.
That's right, baby. It is The Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Man, James, that is the voice of a real woman right there. I love it every time it gets me hyped up for this segment.
It sets the tone for the entire segment, Rick, and sure I could not be more excited to be here tonight. You've got your fancy new background, had that amazing intro.
That's right.
Man, I'm ready to roll.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we do have a new background. If you're not listening on Facebook Live, don't change your radio dial, but go to Facebook Live too so you can see and hear Rick Diamond at the same time. Now, James, we got a lot of wrestling to talk
about. Instagram model Rick Diamond, I might add.
Okay, yes. I did get an offer.
Pump the brakes there, Peppermint.
No. I really got an offer to be an Instagram model, Tabor. I really did.
For big and tall?
No, for skinny and tall. Thank you. CrossFit and tall.
There we go.
I'm CrossFit St. Peter.
Just so people know what they're missing out on Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we're officially off the rails now, folks.
You're looking at an Instagram model every time you open Facebook. I love it.
That's right.
I love it. All I had to do was lose some weight. Instantly, I get offers from these random clothing lines saying, can we send you some free clothes and you take pictures of yourself? Yeah, I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to do that for you. But, James, we got a lot of wrestling to talk about, got a lot of MMA to talk about, so let's go ahead and get to the wrestling first. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds great.
Did you finish SmackDown?
I am right now. I'm 10 minutes short of finishing SmackDown. I'm in the middle of the women's cage match.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy the finish.
Yeah.
Well, really?
Yeah. You already know.
Is it the Mickey James interference?
Well, it's got to be. Your 10 minutes left in the show. She didn't show up yet.
So. I was wondering. I didn't know if she came in at the end. That's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that.
Sorry if you didn't put that together.
I
mean, sorry to spoil it for you.
Love Mickey James.
I'm glad you do. So,
Kurt
Angle.
By the way, Rick, how dare you insinuate that a cage match is just any other match?
It is nowadays.
You're threatening the cage the whole time. That may be a good point there because... But historically,
but not with the women.
It was a big deal because you used the cage. I'm assuming these women didn't really use the cage to its full potential.
No.
Well, to be honest with you, I was just grabbing for something to say, James. I was grabbing for something to say, and that's what I said. So shoot me.
No, I actually now that you both made a good point, and I'm actually going to walk that back, and it kind of speaks to the evolution of the cage match. Because back in the day, that was a particularly bloody match. But again, now with the new more PG Raw and SmackDown, I guess you can't really use the cage as much because you do risk busting somebody open and they don't want blood on the screen.
What I meant was you kind of work it like a normal match with a cage around it. I mean, that's what you do. You know,
there you go.
you don't tease the table, and you can tease the cage, but that's a lost art. I mean, you're just banging heads into the cage for the entire time, and who cares, right?
Exactly. Back in my day, Rick, RoboCop actually ripped the cage open. RoboCop.
Yeah, true story.
See, yeah. I'm giving the old school credit here, and I don't usually do that.
No,
so you
are.
Should be happy.
You absolutely
James,
are,
was
that,
was that Dusty or was that Kevin Sullivan's genius?
I'm sure that was Dusty. By the way, real quick, not to go completely off the rails, but back in the day, Rick, WCW had the wrestling hotline, 1-900-909-9900. Don't believe it exists any longer.
WWF
my local
Live
cable
Wire
company,
was there too.
Yeah, my local cable company did not carry Wrestle War 91 with the debut of RoboCop. So I, because I'm an old man in my 30s, I had to dial the number with an old rotary phone with a 30-foot cord and pull it into the bathroom and listen to the pay-per-view on the phone. And I believe
did you do that at $2.99 a minute?
Yeah, I think I ran up a $500 full bill.
For one pay-per-view.
RoboCop.
I would hang up because I'd feel guilty, but then I'd be like, El Gigante just came out, who I'd never heard of, who was 7 feet tall. I'm like, I got to call back. And then RoboCop's there. And all bets are off. You can't hang up on RoboCop, not when you're 10 years old.
I mean, you could have had a little over 4 years of the WWE Network for that price, James. Yeah,
that's right. Hey, some things are vast improvements over
you,
the past.
You need to go back and watch that match now. It's got to be on there if it was a pay-per-view. I mean, I'm going to go
absolutely
watch it. RoboCop.
$9.99 for everything ever for a month is better than $2.99 a minute. I will give it that.
Absolutely.
But Kurt Angle, though.
Yes, Kurt Angle going to the Hall of Fame. I was wondering, and actually before we get into that, we got a text, and they wanted to know, why do we not want blood? Well, it's not that we don't want blood, but we're not getting blood because Linda McMahon is in the Trump cabinet, which if there was any cabinet you could be a part of and still bleed on national television, it would be the Trump cabinet. But you still can't do it.
A lot of it is so much of their money comes from toy sales. I think more than anything is the toy companies don't want blood.
That's true. I mean, really, though, it would be great for them if they could figure out a way to make the action figures bleed.
Exactly. Back when I was a kid, I used G.I. Joes as pro wrestlers, and I actually did a mail-in order for blood capsules just for my Stan Hansen Vader match I had going on one day.
You are a big Vader guy, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I never got into Vader. Never got into him. But maybe you can enlighten me on our WrestleMania trip, and that's what I want to talk to you about.
I will bring you around to the world of Vader.
Okay.
Well, Vader was big in Japan, James, so Rick doesn't want anything to do with him.
That's exactly
right. That's right.
Perfect. Now we know why. But, okay, Angle going in the Hall of Fame. We're going to be in Orlando for WrestleMania. I was thinking I don't want to go to the Hall of Fame. I'd rather go to Super Card of Honor and then go to the Bangin' Booty Man party, of course, if Rikishi's afterwards. But, I mean, Kurt Angle's going in. Maybe we do want to go, right? I don't know.
Hey, I'm up for either one, but I'll say this. This sounds like an absolute great Hall of Fame class so far. Who all do we have so far? We have Kurt Angle, but
that's it.
I think we officially have more than that.
Officially, but rumored officially. It's Rick Rude, DDP, and some others nobody really cares about. But Rick Rude and DDP and Kurt Angle,
pretty solid if that's what it ends up being.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Rick Rude and DDP. I mean, I'm the real diamond here. And
you might need to present that argument to him in person.
I will absolutely do
Look,
that.
He's a yoga guru. You're a CrossFit trainer.
I'm trainer in progress.
I can see the heads butting right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be a great WrestleMania match, if we're being honest here. He goes out on
his
back.
I think so. Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle. Still an active, as of very recently, an active wrestler in TNA.
Right.
He signed to go into the Hall of Fame. What percent chance do you put on him showing up in the Royal Rumble? Because I actually think there's a pretty solid chance we could see him show up in the Rumble.
Oh, I think he will show up. I don't think he wins, though.
No, I don't think he'll win. What's that, John?
I was going to say, I'd give him about a 75% chance of entering. And I'd say 5% of winning.
I think the and it's something a friend of mine and I've been talking about a lot recently, is the weakness in the new format where the winner of the Royal Rumble gets the match for the title at Mania is, you know, there's only two or three names that could possibly win. We know Sami Zayn's not going to win that. We know, like, if Kurt Angle enters, we know there's, again, 95% chance he doesn't win.
Right.
It really limits your idea of who might have a real shot at winning.
But you know what, James? I actually like that. And I'll tell you why. That's why I like this year's Royal Rumble better than any other, you know, leading up to it in recent history. Because there are other options, right, to
win.
Because
it's an all-star. There's names in this one.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know who's going to win. It's not just Sami Zayn and Kofi Kingston and these people who you know might have a
chance. Well, that's the real benefit of this one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why this one's special.
The trio of Undertaker, Goldberg, and Brock Lesnar is absolutely insane, much less all the full-time superstars we're going to have in the ring. It's ridiculous.
I'll say this. We go back to last night's Raw. We had a brief moment there, kind of a standoff between Roman, Brock, and Braun.
Mm-hmm.
And just that factor, you can maybe substitute because Roman obviously will be going against Owens, but
right.
Throw in Goldberg as that trio of, you know, a current monster, a legendary monster, and a monster on the come up. All
just thinking, yeah, Braun, Brock, Taker, and Goldberg. I mean, come on,
Braun. Like, we have to put him in there.
Diamond doesn't like giants, James. He just likes big men, but not giants.
John Cena.
Well, I think the most important thing is that Vince loves giants, and Vince seems to really like Braun. But I'll say this: of all the Royal Rumbles to go to, man, you two picked the right one. This thing, I'm excited for this thing.
Well, it's actually my first, believe it or not, because I go to, you know, pretty much all the WrestleManias, but. Mm-hmm. And Royal Rumble's so close, so I'm just like, okay, well, I'll just wait for WrestleMania, right? This year, I'll be doing both. Because Tabor will help me drive to San Antonio, and you're driving me all the way to Orlando. So
there we go.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's a great deal. Also, really great time to be a wrestling and MMA fan in the South with WrestleMania in Orlando, Royal Rumble over in San Antonio. We've got a lot of great MMA coming to Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma over the next couple months. Just a really great, and again, there's been all the WWE shows around the state and in Arkansas the last couple weeks. Great time to be a fan down here.
Well, okay, Tabor and I were talking about something on the way over there, and you just reminded me about it, so this is on the fly. But he was talking to me about WrestleMania coming back to New Orleans so quickly, you know, within four years, or in 4 years, actually. And I'm like, yeah, that's a long time. They don't usually do that. But let's say they hit New Orleans, then they hit a cycle between New Orleans, Orlando, or Miami, or Atlanta, okay? Then you go back to California, L.A. for the new Rams Stadium, cycle that between San Francisco for the 49ers Stadium, Levi's Stadium, and the new Rams Stadium. Then you go back to New York, you hit all four corners, and you can cycle New Orleans between New Orleans, Dallas, and Houston. Every 4 years, you hit a different corner of the United States. Two of those years would be right here in the South.
I think it's a good idea. I really like the idea of cycling WrestleMania between a few sites every year. Mm-hmm. And specifically because I think a lot of the people that go to Mania do tend to go every year. And there's familiarity there. And listen, a lot of your bigger cities aren't that tourist friendly. They're not easy to get around. And it would be good for fans and for WWE to be in New Orleans on a semi-regular basis because it is so tourist-friendly. There's so many hotels within walking distance of the Dome. There's all your eating establishments. You can walk out of the Dome and basically walk right into the French Quarter just in a couple minutes. It's just a perfect situation where so many places, so many big stadiums are just outside of town, and it's a long drive and expensive parking, and then you've got to get across town to your hotel while everything's just so perfectly set up for massive amounts of tourists in New Orleans.
So, I mean, I'll go to Kansas City, but I ain't all about going to Kansas City. I tell you that for a WrestleMania.
I've got some good friends in Kansas City. A couple of them work for the Royals, but man, That'd be the only reason I'd go, is to visit some friends. I have no desire to go to Kansas City. I have no idea what I'd even do there. I mean, yeah. I hear they have some barbecue, but frankly, I bet Texas has better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do, too. So last thing on wrestling before we get to MMA and take a break. We've been talking, James, about Brian Alvarez, and we've been saying we're going to get him on, and you've yet to deliver. I thought it was going to be this week. He said he's got something huge. He knows something huge is going to happen for WrestleMania, but he can't tell what it is because if he does, Vince might change it. Two questions. What do you think that might be? Does he know what he's talking about? Actually, that's three. And why the hell haven't you got him on yet?
I've been waiting. So Brian's a busy guy, and I've been waiting for him to get back to me. He's already confirmed he'll come on. We're just trying to find a time to pre-record it because he records a show of his own during this show. And so now, instead of waiting for Brian to get back to me on at a time, I'm just going to throw a couple times out to him.
There you go.
And we're going to get this locked down tonight or tomorrow.
That's
we'll
how
get
you
this
do
locked
business.
Down. Now, I absolutely think Brian knows what he's talking about, but I have no idea what it is. But the really interesting thing is, of course, Brian is with F4W, Figure Four Wrestling, / the Wrestling Observer. Brian's the F4W half. Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer half. They merged. Somebody asked Dave Meltzer on Twitter, like, Dave, Brian said there's this thing you and he know about that's gonna plan on occurring at WrestleMania, but he's not. Y'all don't want to talk about it because it might get changed. And Dave said, have no idea what you're talking about. Absolutely not true. Not realizing Brian said this publicly on the Observer. So either Dave doesn't know, or like Dave might have got caught off guard, but it sounded like Dave is lying. To accuse Dave Meltzer of lying, it sounds like he's not wanting to talk. Not a lie, but not talk about it. Because there's some things, look, as a journalist, there's some things you can't talk about because it's off the record. And so I'm really interested in what this could be that would be so big that Dave would go out of his way to deny it like that when Brian said it on Wrestling Observer Live.
That's a good question to ask Brian if you ever bring him on the show.
So. All right, let's aim for next week. We're going to make this happen.
We were aiming for next week last week. All right, well, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with you to talk about MMA. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Stay tuned.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, former six-time TNA Knockouts champion, and you are listening to The Rick Diamond Show.
Yes, you are. The Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio at 97.7. We're back with James V. McDaniel, who just wrongfully assumed that I knew who Luke Perry was, and said Luke Perry's teenage son / daughter / caveman can take whoever down. I don't know.
James, I'm afraid that Rick may not have even been born before 90210 went off the air.
That's a good possibility. Yeah, Beverly Hills 90210, huge, huge show, late 80s, early 90s. Luke Perry was the big star of that show. He was just a huge deal back then. Apparently his 19-year-old son, Jack, has now entered the world of professional wrestling as Jungle Boy Nate Coy for an organization called Underground Empire Wrestling. Apparently made his debut recently in L.A., so a lot of star power behind him with his dad.
He's doing it right.
The long curly locks there, but I like that he's doing the indies, and he's doing it right. And so it's going to be interesting to see if anything comes of that gimmick, and we'll have to pay attention to that name here in the months to come.
Well, he shouldn't be offended by me calling him a caveman then, because that's what he's going for.
He doesn't look large enough to take you, though, Rick. Definitely looks like a cruiserweight.
Oh, you were saying it could take me? No, not at all. I thought you were saying it could take somebody else.
I don't know about any of that.
Take down Dylan McKay, whoever that is. But but not Rick Diamond. Not Rick Diamond. So I do want to ask you before we get to MMA. We got like 8 minutes to talk MMA, so you better hurry up, Peppermint Fatty. But I'm going to tell you this. I think that you have been abusing your dogs. I think that PETA needs to come check on it because I think Poodle Pup gets the short end of the stick. I'm talking like mentally abuse them, not physically, by the way.
Puppa Dup is living a wonderful life right now.
Puppa Dup.
Who is Poodle Pup?
Buddha Pop. Buddha Pop is Puppa Dub's doppelganger from like the Bizarro world. Why would you say Puppa Dub is not getting her fair shake?
Because I didn't know her name until today when you messaged me about her. You know, I didn't know. I've always heard Panda, Panda, Panda. Panda gets all the attention. I think he
Panda
gets,
is huh? Panda is a delicate older lady who needs that kind of care and attention. Puppa Dub is a wild thing. She's 4 years old. She's all over the place.
She's a tramp.
If Pete is listening right now, you guys want to know what my dogs eat for dinner every night?
What?
Baked chicken. I bake them chicken, peel it apart, and hand feed them. And when they get tired of that, like they often do, we go to steak or pork route. Because, yes, my dogs are so spoiled, sometimes they don't want their delicious baked chicken.
Yeah, I eat sweet potatoes and steak every night. You should give them some of that.
I should get them into that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sweet potatoes.
So we got what? 4 minutes now for MMA?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. First thing I want to go to is off the text line, even though you've got plenty of topics to talk about, I keep cutting you off with them. He says he wants to ask Peppermint about the latest on Mayweather and McGregor. Oh, well, that's actually in your topic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mayweather, McGregor.
Deal is, so I'll go real quick here. We've been talking about Mayweather, McGregor for over a year now, and my big thing was, look, there are times where it seemed like it might happen, but it had never been more than like a 1% or 2% chance of this happening anywhere other than at WrestleMania. But now the president of the UFC, Dana White, came out and offered and made a real offer. Now, most people will say, and I agree, that he didn't expect Floyd to take this offer, but he put on the table $25 million for Conor McGregor, $25 million for Floyd Mayweather, and then they each get points on the pay-per-view, which equals the real money. That's where the big money is. Again, if you sell, like, Floyd's biggest fight was 4.5 million views. If you get $3 per pay-per-view, $4 per pay-per-view, you're starting to get into some huge money on top of that $25 million. Now, Floyd wants $100 million guaranteed, but for me, $25 million is the beginning of negotiations. That's where you're trying to put Floyd on his heels, because when he laughed at that, Dana White came back and said, look, Conor McGregor's last two pay-per-views did 1.6 million buys each. Your last pay-per-view, which nobody watched, did 300,000 buys and actually lost money after Floyd paid himself. So, look, still very little chance of it happening, but there's some chance of it happening. And something Joe Rogan brought up that I find very interesting is the idea, what if they get Floyd Mayweather to agree to fight Conor McGregor in a boxing match, but with MMA gloves, without the big gloves to protect his hand, because Floyd Mayweather is known have very brittle hands. He doesn't hit really hard because he tends to break his hands in fights. That could completely change that fight and really put Conor McGregor into it.
So wait, you said McGregor and Mayweather in a boxing match with MMA gloves. You think
yes.
Mayweather would like that?
I don't think Mayweather would like that. But
okay,
to me,
gotcha. I thought you said he would like it.
No, if I'm the UFC, I say, okay, we'll give you $100 million to fight Conor in MMA. And Floyd, of course, would say no. And then we'd say, okay, let's meet in the middle. Let's do kickboxing. And Floyd will say no. And then if you say, all right, we'll do boxing. Conor will do boxing, but we're going to wear MMA gloves. At that point, if he still says no, you can kind of shame him and be like, look, we gave you your money. You keep backing down from this fight. Are you scared? Because if they could get them in that lighter glove, that benefits Conor McGregor. He's used to those gloves, and Floyd Mayweather, again, has very brittle hands. He tends to break his hands a lot, and those big boxing gloves protect his hands, and that could actually really put Conor McGregor into that fight.
Now, you may not remember, James, but Big Show got down on his knees at No Way Out 2008, and Floyd Mayweather wrecked his face. Broke his nose.
Boy, he really did break his nose. That's right.
Yeah. No, and, Big Show told him to hit him pretty hard, right? He said, give me all you've got. I can take it. And Big Show did not know. Big Show did not know how hard Floyd Mayweather could hit because he's this little guy, right?
I don't know. I'd probably take a broken nose for the payoff that Show got for that.
Yeah, and he was actually enraged. That was not, you know, I don't believe it was written in for him to actually chase down Mayweather that furiously, because he actually said in a shoot interview that if he would have caught Floyd, he was in rage mode and it could have been bad.
I think that's really interesting. That reminds me of when Stone Cold actually had that big brawl where he was trying to get at Mike Tyson. He's talked about how he was so into his character that he actually believed he could beat Mike Tyson. And it's probably a similar thing when you just got punched in the face by a little dude and it hurt that bad. I'm sure you're going to be enraged and want to get at it.
So BJ Penn, tell me about him.
So BJ Penn, he had his big comeback fight this last week. He retired years ago. People were happy he retired because he wasn't the fighter he was earlier in his career. Lost his last four fights, and he was one of the greatest of all time. And Rick, he went in there against number 10 ranked Yair Rodriguez at featherweight. And me, John, my grandmother would have all done better than BJ Penn in this fight, with a little bit of an exaggeration.
I assume Yair Rodriguez, left me out because you obviously know that I would do better than a lot of people.
Well, clearly, you're a top-level athlete.
Good deal,
Rick.
Good deal.
But, BJ Penn absolutely got wrecked. But it, to his credit, he never got knocked out. He actually made it into the second round. Up to this point, now, BJ Penn's first title fight, I believe, was in 2002, 15 years ago. And going into this fight, BJ Penn had never even been knocked down. That's what a chin he has. He actually got knocked down for the first and hopefully the last time in the second round. And, look, some of this is BJ Penn shouldn't have come back. But a lot of this is just the sport is passing by, and Yair Rodriguez is a really, really dynamic fighter. And honestly, he has the opportunity now to be just a humongous star for this company. They've been looking for a genuine Mexican-born star for a long time, and it's looking like he's the guy. Because last night, he beat a true legend and look like a superstar doing it.
Okay, James, time for one last topic. I'm going to give you the option. You want it to be Andrea, KGB Lee. You want it to be the Ultimate Fighter for next season, or the Chael Sonnen-Ortiz fight?
Listen, we'll have time to talk about Andrea coming up because she had won a big fight in Invicta, and she's actually going to be defending. She's actually going to be fighting for the new LFA flyweight title in Shreveport, Bossier on February 17th. Let's talk about the Ultimate Fighter, because this is really interesting, Rick. We're going into the Ultimate Fighter 25. It hasn't started filming yet. The coaches are going to be Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw, who will clearly fight at the end of this for that bantamweight title. But the deal is this is going to be an all-star edition of the Ultimate Fighter. We're going to have some of the best guys of all time coming back, including guys like Joe Stevenson, really wild characters like Junie Browning, but they're all going to be fighting at 170 pounds, Rick. And along with some of these quote-unquote all-stars from the past, they've said there's actually going to be some fighters on this show that are currently on the UFC roster. Now, Rick, when I say that, who can you think of on the UFC roster that's 170 pounds that might need a little bit of a second chance at victory? Because when I think about that, I think of a man by the name of CM Punk.
Yeah, I can go with that.
You know, Dana White got asked by TMZ what's next for CM Punk. He goes, actually, you know, I've got some ideas. I'm going to go sit down and talk with him. And I think if CM Punk is willing to do it, I think we just might see him on the Ultimate Fighter 25. Now, that's just a rumor. There's no one has confirmed that at all. But knowing the UFC and knowing what they've done in the past with guys like Kimbo Slice, I think that could absolutely happen.
Well, that'd be great for him if he could win that. That would be the ultimate comeback story, if you will, even though it's only his second fight ever.
Absolutely.
So.
And it'll give him more experience because the fights on the Ultimate Fighter until the finale, they're technically exhibitions. That gives him real time in the octagon with UFC caliber fighters. And he needs that before I think he gets back in that cage again on the big stage.
Well, James, it's time to go. You got hit with the music from John Tabor. That's the equivalent to getting pulled off the stage with a hook. So, with that being said, it's time to let you go. And we'll see you next week, as always. Don't be too mad about it. We'll see you next week as well. Facebook Live, ESPN 977, iTunes, Google Play Store.
We'll see people Saturday.
We will for Sports Slam. Thank you very much. With your host, Rick Diamond and Tommy Dreamer. And remember, you might not always be able to shine as bright as me, but keep trying anyway.
Thanks for listening to The Rick Diamond Show. Tune in live every Saturday on ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at redpeachsports.com.